hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing.
To Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. We thank God for the first Saturday of August. It's always a privilege to come your way. And we thank God for His goodness and His mercies, which never fails us. And we have every reason to thank Him as believers. You know, these are very interesting times we live in the world. And I believe that as believers, we should be interested in knowing the times we live in. And that's what this program is all about. We talk about the things happening in the world, in the news, around us, and all that. This evening, I met a teacher, and I mean, just a brief chat, and she mentioned something which raised some alarms in my mind. I said, no, these people are going there again. Gender sensitivity. And I said, wow. They had a workshop, and they are talking of gender sensitivity. You know, now when you hear the word gender, you should know where we are going. They won't mention the normal LGBT for you to think of something. But you see, we are smarter than they think we are. You see, why gender sensitivity? Because you see, now they've made it to be like gender is a social construct. That means that's where they talk about gender being fluid and all those things in the West. That's what they believe and they talk about. So when you start talking about gender, teachers should be sensitive to gender and all that. Where are you headed? Where are you headed? But you know, we are very alert. they know that Ghanaians are very alert about these things. If they go and collect their monies from the West and they promise to do things, which you know that if you start pushing, the system will fight. Well, the Christians are ready and will resist it, because if you start using these gender sensitivity things and all that, I mean, what's the import of it? To what purpose? To what end? I mean, always evolving and changing curricula and things that you see, but oh yes, changes in curricula is accepted, it's normal, based on the systems that change. But if it's just not going to be just the academics as is needed, but other things and gender issues will be talked about and all that, then we know the game you want to play. Oh yeah. You know, when I talk about the news, we talk about what's happening in other countries and all that. education is one of the fundamental pillars that has been used to erode and destroy the morals of the children. So education is a very sensitive thing. And so you see, what that's why, for those who remember 4 years ago, yeah, I really spoke a lot about this comprehensive sexuality education and then this whole campaign and all that to resist. Because if we allow this compromise in the educational system, that's the virtual end of our society as we know it. Already there is a big issue of morality. I mean, teachers cannot punish students and all that. And it's, I mean, teachers are complaining. Where did that thing come from? From the West. You see, they suggest things. Unfortunately, it's very worrying that that one passed under the radar and there was not much. I mean, virtually there was no resistance. So it just passed quietly. And now people are beginning to see the challenges that this thing is posing. You don't punish students. Teachers are virtually powerless in some most instances and all that. This is what they did in the West. That's what they did. So when you want to break a society, you start from the classroom. And then it will happen as you want. The West, you see, money... money is all that they use to do these things. They just come influence us with money. And, you know, poverty, as they say, is like sometimes it's almost like the one of the biggest challenges to face as a society is poverty, because we shouldn't be poor as a country, though, but we see ourselves as a poor country, and in some instances we are low middle income or middle income, whatever we are. We just kowtow to any suggestion these people bring on board. We pick it and then we run with it. So they tell you that don't punish your children in schools. We accept it. And now see the consequences we are having on our hands. You know, so they bring things in bits and bits and bits. And as for our leaders, they will always accept these things. Mostly they will accept it. We know they are not for our good. But they don't care because of money. So believers have to understand what is happening. Parents have to understand what is happening. You know, parents have to understand the textbooks the children are using. Check textbooks. Check. Because, you see, we shouldn't just think all is well, because there can easily be a slip by someone, slip some things in silently without... So if parents are not monitoring and checking, we don't have vigilant teachers who can see and raise alarms that this thing is in the textbook. By the time you realize some things are flying gradually. So there should be a real check as to what our children are being taught. Oh yes. Parents have to know what the children are being taught. The textbooks. Now we have this textbook proliferation, as I'll call it. All sorts of textbooks. Everybody is printing their own textbooks, different textbooks. We don't have one standardized one as it used to be years back. Now we have different textbooks. And sometimes realize, I mean, you look at some of the subjects and you have Shatawale and all these funny characters being promoted. I remember seeing one in which the activity should learn a song of one of these so-called celebrities, and sing it in class. And it's like, where from this? What value, what good is this to these children? What are you introducing them to? You see, so these are the systems we find ourselves in. This is the world we find ourselves in. So, I mean, this is just a little alert call that, and for those who are teachers listening to this program, if you've been part of those who attended the workshop on the professional PCL, yeah, professional community learning, where gender education, social inclusion. I mean, come on. You see, when gender education, social inclusion, you know where we are headed. Be gender sensitive. Consider emotions. I mean, since when the teachers didn't consider emotions? It's not that you come to teach teachers to be considerate of emotions. Which emotions? we know where they are going and we know where this thing is headed. So we are alert. So the teachers who attended some of these workshops, you can send me information. Later, I'll get more details about it. Because, you see, we shouldn't keep quiet about these things. Oh, yes. If they take their monies for whatever reasons, they can take the money and use. That one, we don't care. But that you take the money and come and destroy the society, we shouldn't allow these things. All right. So let's get into some of the news happening this week. All right. So, the Russian war is still ongoing. It's not been an easy one for Russia at all. It's a bit. Now, Zelensky, Ukrainian president, is warning that the war is coming to Russia. Because now they've been sending drones. I mean, this week they sent a drone. It's not the first. They've been sending a few to destroy skyscrapers in Russia. And these things are quite embarrassing because Russia is not able to detect them in the first place. This week they sent a sea drone. That one is like a small boat, but it's also a drone laden with bombs. And it destroyed a Russian warship as well. So they are using the air drones and then the sea drones. It's like they are really, really, really taking Russia by surprise. Well, Russia too is turning the tables on destroying strategic storage for the grains. You know, Ukraine is a major grain exporter. And so Russia is destroying some of the grain storage systems and all. So it's quite a worry. But that's war. War is destruction. So whatever you are destroying, you keep destroying. Then we have a Japanese man. You know, this world, now what people want to be, sometimes you just wonder whether they are mentally sound. A Japanese man who spent $14,000 this money, on a dog suit so that he can fulfill his dream of becoming an animal. So this man is, you know, he wears it and he looks like a dog. On all fours, moving on all fours, spending this much to look like a dog because he wants to be an animal. So a custom design, so his dream, childhood dream to become an animal has come to pass now that he can afford. So he has declined to publicly reveal his identity because he knows, you know, he knows that this doesn't make sense, but he's hiding his identity. But he moves in public dressed like, so you see a dog, black, so a brown and white dog, but it's a human being inside. He eats from a dog bowl and all that. You know, something is wrong somewhere. You know, people are not content with who they are. You see, and it's part of this whole agenda of this gender issue. So actually, in some schools, people are not in Ghana, but outside, children are taught to question their gender. To question their gender. You know, I keep saying it on this show that one of the highest insults by creation to the Creator is to question him that he made a mistake. So you have men who say that I should have been a woman. Boys who say I should have been a girl, vice versa. And it doesn't end there. But they go ahead to alter the bodies that God created them in. It's a very high level insult. High level insult. You know, it's very sad, but that's how human beings. And the next news talks about similar thing. Woman who regrets trans surgery sues doctors for medical malpractice. So a woman who underwent transgender treatment as a minor but later detransitioned is suing her former doctors for malpractice, claiming they misdiagnosed her condition and encouraged her to undergo the life-altering treatments when she was neither mentally nor emotionally capable of giving consent. Fresha Mosley filed a suit this month in North Carolina State Court against her counselors, doctors, and plastic surgeons. asserting that no amount of money can undo the damage. You now see it. She has suffered, but that she hopes to deter these and others like them from similar acts in the future. Listen to her words now. You transition, you detransitioned. Now you want to see the doctors who did the earlier transition for you. But meanwhile, if at this same person at that time, if you were to advise that don't do this, hey, you are homophobic, you are transphobic. When people warn them now that don't, I mean, this is not the way to go. This will destroy your life, permanent damage to your system. They will call you transphobic. We know what we are doing. Allow us to do. Allow us to enjoy our life. We know what is right for us. Now, when they go and hit the end, they have all the psychological and whatever issues. Then now they start blaming the medical system for failing them. So when they were deciding to do it in the first place, what happened? But you see, this is how the devil works. One lesson we can learn from this. You see, the devil will use you, deceive you, and then when the game is set, you realize that you are just a tool in the hand of the devil. He just used you and finished and dumped you. And now, you see, the statistics are so bad about those engaging in these transgender things because their suicide rates are very high, very, very high, 20 or 30%, or very high. The percentage, the 20 times or 30 times more committing suicide for those who do this transitioning. Because you cannot be satisfied. This is, satisfaction doesn't come from the body that you have. I mean, you see, that's where the deception starts from. You being a boy or a girl doesn't give you any satisfaction. Satisfaction is found in Christ. So anything aside Christ, if one is seeking that to bring satisfaction in their life, it will end nowhere because you thinking you should be a girl, but you are a boy. You are in a boy's body. So you have to change the you have to transition to a girl. Oh yes, medical science has advanced. They will do it for you. But you finish and get to the girl body. Now you realize you are not happy. Then now you start hearing voices. You see, this body crying for you is not nice as you thought it would be. So kill yourself. And they are committing suicide. No, the devil sets people on the path of hell and he gives incentives along, encourages them, motivates them along the way till they end up in hell. And yet when you warn people that you are headed towards hell, they say no, you are homophobic, you are transphobic. People are being sacked from their companies, businesses are being blocked by YouTube, Facebook and others simply for saying this same thing, that this thing you are doing will take you to hell. And yet, because they are blinded spiritually, they will say no, don't say it, you are judgmental, you are this, you are that, you are that. And yet actual reality, you know, it's very sad how deception is so powerful. Very, very, very powerful. We go to Australia where we have this one. Australian Christians have been warned that censorship is coming with new disinformation bill. So Australia has joined the list of nations around the globe where people soon will be banned from expressing their opinions on a long list of issues, all coming under the mantle of misinformation and disinformation. The plan would be... the plan, for example, will ban criticism of LGBT ideology, including transgender procedures that mutilate a child's body. Also, any election officials would have new protections against complaints and criticism and a whole lot of others. So the fear, you see, the worry is who decides what is true and what is not true. And the government is not interested in really what is true or what is not true. It's just about what they say is the truth should be what should be taken as the truth. So it doesn't matter whether it's a lie or not. So like saying that gender is fluid. We all know it's a lie. Gender is not fluid. Because they, the government, and their liberal mindset, they say it's the truth. Everybody should accept it as the truth, and that becomes the truth. So even though it's a false information and it's not a fact, it becomes true in the light of the deception we find ourselves in. And now anyone who says anything opposite their perceived truth is rather being classified as you are misinforming and you are disinforming, to the point where you can be fined, or else prison terms and all that. And if this bill eventually passes, Christians are, of course, in the crosshairs and are going to really be the target. You see, a lot of these things are coming up, these laws and all that. They are targeting is purely Christians who are the reason why these laws are being targeted. Only Christians. Christians. And another deeply alarming information, this news, the headline says, deeply alarming. Communist, LGBT activist, target Christian-owned coffee shop over biblical stance on sexual sin. So a deeply alarming situation has occurred in Colorado, where a Christian-owned coffee shop has reportedly been under fire by LGBT activists, communists, and others, cow stance on sexual sin. Since its opening last month, the Drip Cafe, a Christian-owned coffee shop ministry in Denver, has been targeted by protesters over its belief that homosexuality is sinful. Christian Post reporter Ian Gearty wrote earlier this month, owner Jeremy Sanchez believes the Denver communists and other LGBT protesters were triggered by a scripture on the website of his coffee shop's parent non-profit Recycle God's Love, which ministers to the local homeless population. So you have these people, LGBT activists and communists who are anti-Christian and all that, taking offense that this coffee shop is having a Bible verse. Bible verse. So that means on their website, clearly that means they identify as anti-LGBT then. You see, one amazing thing about this whole thing is they are very intolerant. Very intolerant. So it's amazing when they expect others to be tolerant of them. But they also are not ready to be tolerant of others. So it's like they should be worshipped. They should be the ones who should be, you know, honored all around the place. They should be the ones we should carry on our shoulders all around the place. But you are just a minority of a few percentage. But they are the loudest because the media is on their side largely. The mainstream media, the big tech companies are on their side, Facebook, YouTube, and all this. So they feel powerful. The big companies, the multi-billion dollar companies are sponsoring and pushing. The big politicians are on their side. So they feel everybody should bow before them. So how dare you, a Christian business, criticize them or criticize? See, but the message in this news, and others have been talking about in the news and all that, you see, they are attacking the scripture. It's the word of God they are angry about, first and foremost, before even the person talking or projecting the word of God. So the hatred is really against the word of God. That's under attack. And that's what I've been talking about in this series for some time now. The word of God is really under attack because that is what really makes them feel guilty that this life they are living is a sin. So let's take the word of God out of the equation, out of sight, destroy it. We should have no word of God so that they can have a clear conscience that they are not sinning. But so far as the word of God exists, they know. When they see the word of God, it pricks their hearts that they know, no, we are living in sin. But because they have a hardened heart now, they get offended by the fact that the word of God is pointing to their sin. So even when the word hasn't pointed to their sin, no one has mentioned even their sin in particular, they still get offended because the word of God is still the word of God. So their hatred is against the word. That's why we as believers, we should have it in us. We should have the word in us more than ever before. Because you see, there's a grand onslaught on the word of God. The hatred is getting high. Political hatred, media hatred, the liberal, the left liberal, extremists hate it. The big tech, you know, companies, they hate the word of God. You quote it, they remove it on Facebook. This word goes against our community standards, blah, blah, blah. And then your post is removed. You post something, just quoting. People have lost their jobs just because they quoted the word of God. And it's just amazing how now some companies and out there, I mean, some businesses, companies, big and all that, now even look at people's social media posts. They have officers that scan people's social media posts to check if they are having any things against the transgender community, the LGBT community and all that. So you can post something on your Facebook wall, personal, not official one, your private Facebook wall, and yet your company can hold you account and you can lose your job because you posted something on your private Facebook wall. Something else now. So your thinking, your beliefs and your actions is now being subjected to your company. So yes, they are paying you your salary, all right, and all that, but now aside your salary being paid, they are now controlling what you should think about, what you should say in your privacy, in like on your private conversations, on if your chat on Facebook or social media, or even your normal conversations. You bring anything out there that is anti the beliefs of the business, which is purely not business, but just because the company believes in pro, they are pro LGBT, you can lose your job. This is the world we are in. This is the new world where sin has been celebrated to the point where those who rather talk against sin are now who are targeted. And then we have this quick one. Pastor, wife, and 3-year-old son jailed on charges of luring innocent people to Christianity. You know, when I read this news, I realized some countries are really far, 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 far behind. This is India. A pastor, his wife, and young son have been jailed for allegedly luring innocent people into Christianity in violation of an anti-conversion law in Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state, where Christians only make up less than 1% of the 200 million population. The pastor, Harendra Singh, and his wife, Priya, were arrested by the police and jailed along with their 3-year-old son on July 31st after they were accused of hosting a prayer meeting in their home located in the town of Hyderabad, a report from the Union of Catholic Asian News said. Even though the pastor had denied the allegation that he was luring innocent people to the Christian faith, the family was arrested for violating Uttar Pradesh's prohibition of unlawful conversion of religion act 2021. Their young son had been jailed with them because in India, children up to 6-year-old are frequently forced to live with their incarcerated parents, especially their mothers. It's unfortunate. 3-year-old son also had to go to prison with them. A social activist assisting the prosecuted Christians told the publication. You know, this law in India is so brutal to the fact that, so you do a program, let's say you invite unbelievers who are your friends, and maybe you serve them, and then you just share the gospel with them and all that, not forcing them, of course, but the fact that you even make the attempt to witness to them, they willingly come to Christ. And someone reports you can still be arrested on the charge, with the charges that you forcefully converted them, and that is a crime in parts of India. And it's serious how Christians in some of these places are really suffering. It's that bad. And then ethnic religious clashes targeting Christian minority destabilize the state of Manipur in India. So the state of Manipur in northeastern India has been plunged into an unofficial civil war as ethnic and religious violence has erupted since early May. You know, and Christians are really feeling the brunt there. Several churches destroyed, several homes destroyed, just are Christians. Now let me read this final one. It's a statistics. I like this one because it gives a certain picture of the states, of the system we are in. Though America, but I keep saying that, see, if we are to do some of those census or those statistics or surveys here, we will not have the margins of error, will not be that different, because that's the state of the world now. We are drifting away from God. We are drifting away from the Bible. The headline is, the belief in God, angels, heaven, hell, and Satan have reached a record low. And that's quite worrying, because you see, if people don't believe in God, people don't believe in angels, heaven, hell, and Satan, what do they believe in? I mean, then freelance atheists, they don't believe anything and all that. The shares of Americans who believe in God, angels, heaven, hell, and the devil have all tumbled to the lowest levels ever recorded over the last two decades. And belief in God and heaven have made the steepest dips. New data from Gallup show. So a new nationwide survey conducted in May 1st, 24th, and released in July by the analytics and advisory company, shows that even though a majority of Americans still believe in each religious entity, God, angels, heaven, hell, and devil have all lost some attraction amongst believers. Amongst believers. Underline, believers. The survey showed that 74% of respondents said they believe in God. So if you're a believer and you don't believe in God, what do you believe in? 69% said they believe in angels. 67% expressed belief in heaven. Okay, so if you're a believer and you don't believe in heaven, so the 33% who say they don't believe in heaven, why are they Christians? What do they believe in? While 58% said they believe in the devil, then you already you are just open to his manipulation without any resistance, because you don't even believe he exists. When compared with the survey results from 2001, when Gallup first began measuring belief in the religious entities, a more nuanced trend emerges, showing belief in God and heaven with the steepest decline over time, while belief in the devil and those dipped the least. In 2001, belief in God was 90%, whilst for heaven it was 83%. Belief in angels was 79%. Belief in hell was 71%. While belief in the as the percentage of believers has dropped over the past two decades, their corresponding increases have occurred mostly in non-belief, with much smaller increases in uncertainty, wrote Megan Brennan, a research consultant at Gallup. This is true for all but belief in God, which has seen nearly equal increases in uncertainty and non-belief. Individuals who attended church most often, the Republicans, were more likely to believe in each of the five religious entities. Protestants more likely than Catholics to express belief. Most individuals who seldom or never attend church also believe in God and angels, but less than half believe in heaven, hell, and the devil, the survey shows. And this is quite an interesting survey, because you see, the belief in these things, let's start with this, the belief in God is the fundamental basis. I mean, if you're a Christian, believing in God, believing in the Son Jesus Christ and all, that's what makes you a Christian. Believing he came to die for you, for your sins and all that. That's what makes you a Christian. So if you don't believe in God, and yet you proclaim that you are a believer, I mean, you are a Christian, I just don't get it. Where does it fit? Believing, so what makes you a Christian? You don't believe in the God whose son died for you, and yet you say you're a Christian? You don't believe in heaven. So why are you a believer? You don't believe that he's going to prepare a place for you, and when he finish, he will come back and take us to be where he is. You don't believe in it. You don't believe angels. So you read the Bible and you see angels did this, angels ministered, angels, all these things. You don't believe. You don't believe in hell. See, that's why people can believe the fact that God is too good to take anyone to hell. So we can live any life as we please, and no one will go to hell. That's why people believe. You see, people believe these doctrines because it's made to be make believe type of easy way of living your life without any checks and balances on you. And people believe it, that there's no hell. So they can live anyhow, free life, no one will account for them. You know, I always refer to this flyer or banner placard a lady was holding in front of the U.S. Supreme Court during one of those protests, LGBT, pro-LGBT protests and all that, in which she has this card, the placard written on, "I'm going to hell, and I know it." I always remember that scene because that message is so profound. I am going to hell, and I know it. So this person believes them, and indeed believes that her lifestyle is warranting her going to hell. So she knows she's going to hell. She doesn't care. "I'm going to hell, and I know it. I don't care." So take your Bible away, take your God away, take your Jesus away. I don't care. I'm going to hell, and I know it. It's one of the most shocking statements a human being can make. People can make these free. They've had a certain mindset about hell that, oh, what's the big deal? Hell is nothing to be worried about. People believe all sorts of myths that they are told about it. That the fun entertainment will be there. Celebrities will be there. So, you know, some believe these things anyway. But the sad aspect is, you see, the devil is playing a game on the minds of people, making a serious matter look like nothing, some cool, simple issue, so don't be bothered about it. But we believers, you and I, who understand these things, should guard our hearts and understand where we are and the warfare that is going on. Because, you see, the devil is really pushing all buttons to ensure that people do not believe the existence of God. People do not believe in heaven. People do not believe in hell. People don't believe in spiritual things again. We should just seek after material things, seek after our well-being. You know, unfortunately, the economic conditions also makes it demanding. So it's all about what we can get for ourselves, how to survive, how to live, pay our bills and all that. So our life sets itself in a motion, a cycle of working, looking for money, struggling to cater for things. So gradually people are losing their faith a little at a time. People are losing their faith. Believers are losing their faith a little at a time. So you have people who were once on fire for the Lord, were praying seriously, powerfully, spiritually active, doing everything to keep themselves on fire for the Lord, reading their word, they were meditating, doing their quiet time, doing evangelism, fasting and praying, all sorts of, I mean, doing the good things that we have to do as believers. But now some will tell you, those things do not pay again. Is it really worth it? We've done it, we've not seen anything. We've done it and life is even getting more difficult. Is it really worth all these challenges to be a Christian and still be struggling? You know, so the devil is using these things to draw people away. So people look at their colleagues and friends and mates, neighbors, who are not serving God, and life seems to be working out for them well. And so it's as well, then is it really worth being a Christian? You know, people say these things, people think about these things. But this evening, let's encourage ourselves and believe that, you see, life does not, it's not just about the abundance of things that we have. At the end of the day, the people who we are looking up to, having these things we are comparing ourselves with, thinking they are better off than us, what is the use? What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You see, people have forgotten about these verses in the Bible and are busy chasing the things, the material things. Yes, we need them to survive, no doubt about it. But we should not forget that life is not just about the material aspect of it. We are spirit beings with souls living in a body, tripartite system. And unfortunately, the body, for whatever reason, has become the champion trying to run the affairs of humans. So the demands and the dictates of the body and the needs of the body is the one that is running the affairs of man. So we need to clothe ourselves, we need to feed ourselves to keep the body alive and going. We need to dress the body, lay the body on a bed. We need to have a good place to rest, the body to rest in, a house and all. So we need to move in a car, the body to move. So the body seems to be pushing us and controlling us, forgetting that the real us itself is not the body, but the spirit being. So we, the real person, is not the body itself. We are just, the body is just a container. But that container is the one that is really dictating the pace. So at the end of the day, when this container doesn't, it just dies and then it's of no use. The real you that comes out, you realize that you just wasted time on this earth. You know, recently, this week, this thought came to mind, the issue of accountability. You know, we sometimes seem to forget that we are going to give account of this life that we are here for. So, you see, the devil knows how to manipulate us so well to the point where we forget the essentials. So we make the major the minor and the minor the majors. So what is really important, we've put it aside, ignored it. And what is not important is rather dictating the pace. You know, that's why we should be mindful of the fact that something is taking away the word from us. The devil is taking the word away from us gradually. So the time that we have, we are using it on all other things except the word of God. We are not really filling and equipping ourselves in the word. Because see, that the word is what will keep us going in the times ahead. The lack of the word is what will cause us to fall away. And if there's any generation that should be more concerned about being very serious with the word of God, it should be us. Because we are seeing all there is to be seen in terms of the negativity, the attacks, the evil. We are seeing things. It's not even ended though. It's still worsening. But we are seeing things that should be enough to let us be wise to the fact that we need the word in us. We need to abide by the word. We need to ground ourselves in the word, because that is what is going to keep us. You know, let me just read Daniel, the book of Daniel. We have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel chapter 3, 16 to 18, quickly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When I was reading this evening, when I got to the studio earlier, like outside, then the Holy Spirit prompted me about something. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these people didn't have the full complement of the word of God. At the time they were in slavery, there's nothing like the book of Daniel. Life was rather added as part of a book for us to be reading today. They didn't have any book of Daniel to read to encourage them. No, there was no book of Daniel to encourage them. We fortunately have the complement of all these books, these encounters, these challenges, these trials, these men of faith to learn from. So you realize we have, if there's a generation that should be very assertive in our worship of God with a better understanding, it is we, after the Bible became an open book for all, available for all to have access to. After the, a little over 400 years ago coming, we, all these generations coming, we have a better opportunity to serve God in a better way, because the people we are reading about, we are reading their land and all that, they didn't have the Bible to guide them, and yet they had relationships with God. We have no excuse, because the life we live every day, the life they lived and the life we are also living, now compare the two. They lived a life which was worthy of it being written, put in the word of God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for us today to read. Now we have access to that information to be a guide to us. But you see, the devil is deceiving us to the point that, oh, we don't need it. We don't need it. And we are forgetting that when we take that away, let's say that we don't have the Bible again. It's been taken, government has seized all Bibles, all mobile phone apps, our Bible have been deleted by Google or Apple and all that. We don't have any word. Every house has been searched, seized. There's no Bible hidden anywhere. I mean, unless secret ones that the security people didn't see can survive. How many? Think about it. How many believers can you survive? How long can you survive? How much word is in you? How much word? Because you see, last week I played this Iranian, two ladies who were in the Iranian prison. And you see, you listen to them and you realize, I record it, so it's on the spiritissues.info, last week's edition, or on the Telegram group. You can download it, last week's edition, and listen. It's just a short interview that was added. You realize it's the word in them that kept them in prison. Their faith was upheld by the word. But it does the things it does so well in terms of equipping us, empowering us, guiding us, giving us hope, strength in our weakness, and all that. So if we start failing in depending on the word, then it means we are weakening ourselves spiritually. We are eroding our defense system. We are making it difficult for us to survive in the evil days. Because survival in the evil days is purely going to be based on the word. Why do I say so? For the fact that Jesus emphasized on deception in the last days In Matthew 24, verse 4, verse 5, verse 11. The fact that he was emphatic on deception, deception, deception. I mean, he spoke about in Matthew 24, deception was the key word or the phrase or deception. I mean, he talked about that more than any other thing. That means it's going to be a serious thing, because deception, I mean, ask yourself, why would the devil be so interested in deceiving, deceiving, deceiving? And deception, what does it mean? To deceive someone, to trick someone, to deceive, alter information, to twist information. Why would you want to deceive someone? That means the person knows the truth. So to take the truth and make it falsehood is deception. To introduce information that is falsehood is deception. And take note of this. The unbelievers are not going to be deceived. No, no, no. Because they already deceived. Because to refuse to accept Christ, to be a Christian, to refuse to, I mean, to follow the will of God, the dictates of God, the word of God and all that, you're already deceived. So they are already deceived. So the devil does not need to repeat the deception on them again. So the emphasis of deception in the last days is for us believers. And the word of God is truth. So the only way the devil can succeed in all his deceptive schemes that he would apply will be targeted at the word. Is going to be targeted at the word of God. And once is going to be targeted at the word of God, then we should know that we need the word. We need to guard it seriously, because he will do everything to take the word away from us. If he cannot take it away physically from you, as it is in North Korea where you can't own a Bible because you can be killed for all, and all that, then he will take it away from you spiritually by confusing you, bringing all the things you confused, making you lose interest in reading it, meditating and studying it. These are all deceptive strategies the devil is using. Because fortunately in Ghana, nobody is using Bibles. So if he cannot get the Bible physically away from us, then he will stop us from reading it. He will stop us from having interest in it. And that is exactly what is happening in various ways, where we are losing interest in the word of God. We should understand the reason why the average Christian is losing interest in the word of God is part of the deception, because you are being deceived a little at a time. You don't need the word. You can do without the word. You don't need the word. You can do without it. And as we people believe these lies from the enemy, they are drawing away from the word. And by drawing away from the word, we are gradually separating ourselves from the word, from God. Our faith is being undermined a little at a time. So a time will come, we'll realize that we start questioning the word of God. As is happening, now you hear all sorts of things. People are challenging the word of God, and the word of God, there are contradictions. The word of God, this. Then see, these are all strategies the enemy is using to attack the word of God. So those who are not sound in doctrine, sound in the word of God, they fall for these deceptive things, I mean schemes, and then they also follow and they start questioning the word of God. Is it really the word of God? Is it not men who wrote it? A white man's book? I mean, all these. You see, when you hear people talking and rattling and saying these things, you just know that these are deceived people. You don't waste time on them. Rather, you should be, when you see people who tell you, oh, I used to be a Christian, me, I'm a Christian, and yet they are questioning and challenging the word of God, what you should tell yourself is, take heed so that you too, you don't fall. Because if someone has fallen, a believer who once believed falling, then you should know that you should guard your heart, because you too, you can follow. We can be victims as well. We shouldn't be proud to say that me there, I'll not fall. Hey, me there, I have the word, I know. No, 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 no. Let's humble ourselves and rather seek God's grace to ensure that we endure to the end, because the deception is strong and is real, and the word is the attack. It's under attack, serious attack. You may not understand it so well in terms of the attack, but the attack is happening So we are seeing, you see, we are, what is happening is a spiritual attack that we are happening, that is happening, and we are seeing because people are just losing interest. Even in the faith, people are losing interest in the faith. But it's a gradual process. So it's not a sudden, like, Monday I'm a Christian, Tuesday I'm not a Christian again. No, it rarely happens that way, except maybe the person was seriously offended by something and all that. But in most cases, it's more of a gradual withdrawal. So he goes to church consistent every Sunday, every evening meeting and all that. Now he goes to church every month, he will skip one. Then the next month, he will skip two. The next month, he will skip three. Then the next one, he won't go cry. Then he will just go once in a while, be, and then just, you see, sparingly attend one, two, then gradually start questioning things, even this thing, the word, the Bible says this, and is it true? Then, you see, then they start questioning the word. Now, they don't even read it as they should, and then their minds become confused. They start wondering, is it really the word of God? See, when this is a gradual thing, the devil doesn't pull you at once suddenly. No, he pulls you a little at a time. So you see, let's guard our hearts. The word is so important and crucial. We need to ensure that we don't separate ourselves from the word of God at any point in time, especially now where we are, where the schemes are just obvious, that the word is what he's seeking to pull us away from. But let's hold on tight and finish the race successfully. This is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. I believe you've been blessed this evening. This is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. God willing, next week will be coming your way as well. Good night.
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because...
How do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.